They're still filling orders, stocking shelves, and delivering packages. And now, the pandemic's essential workers are asking their employers for better protections.
The nexus of power in the company is shifting from, you know, the top of the company, the executives, the people that could work from home, to hundreds and thousands of their workforce that has to go in every day.
We'll have more on how giants like Walmart, Apple, and Amazon are responding. Plus, U.S. stocks have ended their worst quarter since the financial crisis. It's Tuesday, March 31st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Let's start with markets. All three major stock indexes ended the trading day down, closing out what has been a dismal quarter. The Dow has lost 23% since the start of the year. The S&P 500 has lost 20%, and the Nasdaq has fallen 14%. Markets reporter Akani Otani explains.
The scale of the declines really goes to show you how fearful investors are about the economic and financial implications of the coronavirus pandemic. Just as a reminder, only a couple weeks ago, a lot of investors thought that this was going to be primarily an issue relevant to China and that the U.S. economy would probably come out looking okay on the other side. But now, very quickly, the pandemic has shut down travel and business and put a lot of people out of work, and investors are having to rethink all of those assumptions. And it really bodes poorly for companies' profits for the foreseeable future, as well as for the outlook for riskier assets like stocks.
That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani. Public health officials in the U.S. and a wave of European governments are changing their position on the use of face masks to stem the spread of the coronavirus. European governments had been following guidance from the World Health Organization, which had discouraged healthy people who aren't hospital workers from wearing masks, saying there is no evidence it slows the spread of the virus. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has maintained similar guidelines. But CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield said in an interview on Monday that his agency was reviewing the mask recommendations, especially on growing evidence that people who are asymptomatic, meaning they aren't experiencing symptoms, can spread the disease more widely than previously thought. The review comes as new questions are emerging about China's official count of cases. The country said it did not include more than 1,500 people who were asymptomatic in its official tally. With more than 175,000 confirmed coronavirus cases, the U.S. has more than any other country. Today, the U.S. death toll surpassed that of China. More than 3,400 Americans have died due to the virus. President Trump is calling for a $2 trillion investment in infrastructure as part of a fourth wave of pandemic stimulus for the country. In a tweet, Trump called for a big and bold plan to address jobs and infrastructure, citing low interest rates. Democrats and the president have both pushed for investment in infrastructure in the past, but have so far failed to reach an agreement on how to pay for it. Congress has already passed three major pieces of legislation to provide relief during the pandemic, including last week's $2 trillion stimulus bill. As part of that relief package, about $350 billion in loans will be made available to cover 2 months of payroll and other expenses. The Treasury Department announced today that small business owners will be charged just 0.5% interest for those loans. Millions of people around the world are working from home. But there are many more, especially blue-collar workers, who cannot. And companies are trying to figure out how to deal with that situation. Their choices are lay people off, give them paid leave, or keep them at work and figure out how to keep them safe. Take Apple, which said on Monday that it would continue paying hundreds of contract workers at its Silicon Valley campus. As Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle reports, that was a turnaround for the company, and more in line with how it's treating its own employees.
Well, I think broadly, not just Apple, but we also saw this with Harvard. You have two kinds of workers at a lot of big companies and big institutions. You have hourly workers that are paid directly by these companies and institutions, and then you have subcontracted hourly workers, and those are janitors, landscapers, drivers. They work for vendors and suppliers and intermediaries. And so I think a lot of companies and institutions are having to make some decisions about, okay, well, are we just paying our own hourly employees that we pay directly? And what do we do about those subcontracted employees? In the case of Harvard, they actually backtracked and extended benefits to subcontracted employees after some pressure from students. In the case of Apple, they committed to paying those subcontracted employees on Monday.
Meanwhile, Walmart employees are among the few retail workers still showing up to work every day. Today, the country's biggest private employer said it'll start offering face masks to store workers and giving employees paid sick leave if they're running a temperature at the start of their shift. Our reporter Sarah Nassauer has more.
They said they talked to health officials about the temperature measure and about masks, and they said they're basically doing the best thing that they can. They sort of acknowledge that some of the science around whether you should wear a mask or you shouldn't wear a mask is being debated. They said, though, that workers and customers indicated that in some cases it just made them feel more comfortable.
And then there's Amazon. It's long been the de facto online delivery service for many Americans. But now people in lockdown are relying on deliveries for nearly everything. The company is one of the few hiring, and it's rolling out a series of policy changes to ensure the safety of its workforce. Reporter Dana Mattioli joins us now to discuss the challenges facing America's largest online retailer and its workers. So, Dana, tell us about the challenges facing Amazon workers. You spoke to people who said they weren't equipped with protective supplies, and many have been calling out sick.
Yeah, that's right. So Amazon finds itself in a really unique position. In normal times, pre-pandemic, they're one-third of all online orders, which is a ton. And now they're in a situation where so many Americans, hundreds of millions, are at home and are not shopping in person and are relying on them for everything from thermometers to their groceries through Whole Foods. So they've had to really reach this peak capacity, like a holiday season capacity, in a matter of weeks rather than having months and months to gear up for that like they would during the course of a normal year. And as that happens, the nexus of power in the company is shifting from, you know, the top of the company, the executives, the people that could work from home, to hundreds and thousands of their workforce that has to go in every day and has to unload the boxes and pack the boxes and deliver them to people's homes and put themselves potentially in danger of getting infected.
Right. So as you mentioned, at the same time, Amazon is now facing colossal demand. Employees at the company are now on the front lines of delivering items to Americans who are being asked to stay inside. Give us a sense of that scope. You said earlier that this is similar to the holiday demand, but of course, on a much shorter time frame to ramp up.
Yeah. So if you think about Christmas shopping, which is the biggest time of year for retailers, Amazon starts staffing up and preparing for that with getting enough inventory all the way back in August. They didn't have the luxury of time here. They started tracking coronavirus in a serious way around January 21st when they were seeing a spike in demand for things like face masks and cleaning products. So at that point, they started reaching out to suppliers to get more of that to try to get ahead of it. And some of their suppliers didn't even know what the coronavirus was. But even so, that's only a matter of weeks to try to get enough inventory and also enough people to staff this operation, especially when some of their employees are getting sick or calling out or, you know, taking time off because they're worried about infection.
And employees at Amazon are now taking more collective action. As you say, they have a little bit more leverage now to demand concessions from the company, including things like hazard pay and other protections while they're working. What exactly are they seeking, and how has management been responding to that?
It would be fair to say that, you know, these warehouse employees who have often felt like they're the bottom of the totem pole now have a lot more leverage, right? So Amazon has made a bunch of changes in the last few weeks to hear these employees out and try to keep them protected. On March 9th, it announced that it would relax its time off policy for warehouse workers. So that was, you know, a big coup for them. And then 2 days later, it actually revised its stance to offer paid sick days to fulfillment center workers who were possibly infected. The next week, it raised pay for people in their warehouses and in the transportation network and their delivery network by $2 more an hour through April. So it's done a bunch of things like that in order to, you know, not encourage people to show up sick at work and spread it, you know, so now if you feel sick or if you're quarantined, you'll still get paid. They don't want people coming and spreading it. And they're also providing like a bit of hazard pay, this $2 an hour extra through April. So their lowest hourly rate in the U.S. is $17 per hour for those employees.
So Dana, from the business side, Amazon and many other companies are running low on essential supplies, and they're also dealing with this increased demand. How are they handling that surge?
Yeah, so Amazon took a pretty radical step earlier in the month where it is prioritizing shipment of quote-unquote essential items. So think about Amazon. They have hundreds of millions of types of items they sell. But in order to stock their warehouses with the things that Americans need most, they stopped ordering a lot of the ancillary items. So they wanted to make room for things like shelf-stable food, face masks, cleaning supplies, toilet paper. So that's one major, major thing that they did that will have ripple effects through their, you know, through their seller network. They're also one of the rare companies right now that is hiring because they need bodies to pack these orders and deliver them. They announced that they're hiring 100,000 new workers in the U.S. for their fulfillment centers and deliveries. And, you know, that comes at a time when we all know so many companies are laying off or furloughing their employees. Macy's announced that it would furlough most of its workforce yesterday. So this is something where they're just really trying to get as many people into their network as they can.
And in addition, there's also the public relations side of this, as the general public and employees are scrutinizing more how major companies are responding and reacting to this crisis, as well as how they're working to take care of their employees.
Yeah, that's right. It's been pretty interesting to watch because this is a time when Amazon could get goodwill with customers, but also in Washington, D.C., where there's been antitrust investigations into the company, as well as other tech companies. Donald Trump hasn't been, you know, the biggest backer of Amazon or Jeff Bezos over the years. And it's interesting to see his tone change a bit. He's given shout outs to Amazon and Whole Foods for, you know, getting essential goods to Americans. And within the company, you know, I think Amazon executives, from what we've been told, view this as a way to sort of, you know, get some more goodwill and mend some of those relationships in Washington, D.C., where maybe people will appreciate Amazon's scale.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Dana Mattioli. Dana, thank you so much for joining me.
Anytime.
And finally, we want to know your questions about the coronavirus pandemic. Call us at 315-992-8298 and leave us a voicemail with your question. That number is also in our show description. As we continue to cover the pandemic, we'll be bringing on our reporters and experts to answer as many of your questions as we can. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow in the morning and the afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.